Hey there, I'm Mark Howard, professional goalkeeper and the host of the Yours Mine Away podcast. Today I'm thrilled to share my secret with you. When I got my hands on Active Collagen, it was an absolute game changer for me. As football players, we all want to train hard, play harder and recover faster. Since rupturing my Achilles 6 years ago, I've relied on collagen supplements to help me remain injury free. After trying various brands, I found my perfect match with Uperform. Packed with two unique bioactive collagen peptides. It's the UK's number one choice for both prehab and rehab. Say goodbye to injury worries and hello to enhanced performance. Collagen is key for your muscles, your tendons and ligaments. But here's the kicker. As we age, we lose it. Uperform's active collagen doesn't just replenish. It turbocharges your natural collagen production. Simply take one gel a day. It really is that simple. And for the result, feel unbeatable and keep playing your best game on and off the pitch. I wouldn't recommend anything that I don't believe in. Uperform is a real deal. And just for you, they're offering an exclusive saving. Click the link in the description below and use code MARK20 at checkout. Join professional footballers all over the world that now take active collagen to make injuries a thing of the past and recover faster. Grab yours now and transform your game. Please welcome Sam Brown, tomorrow goalkeeper.
Everybody now says whenever I bring a GoPro out, oh, it's Ben Foster. Yeah. I was like, technically, I was doing it like a year before him, but that's fine. It's okay, whatever. I literally cut the entire game down to every single touch. If it's a goal kick, if it's like a back pass, whatever it is, every single touch they have gets clipped up. 95th minute, you know, you've got to go crunch somebody. You might get kicked in the face.
They're the best bits. They're the best bits.
Well, it's just going to be an average video. Yeah. It just didn't stop.
That's crazy.
Every day, I was just looking back as like an extra mil views. I was like, what is going on? Goalie. I don't know what they feed some of these keepers now. I've got a 15-year-old who's 6'5". Yeah. I just black out, completely cut out. I'll name drop a little bit. When I work with the EA and that kind of stuff and work with Ilamelia, we did a penalty shootout. There's a lot of charity games as well, which is the main thing I'm really focusing on. I've got a good record. So, and out of 14 charity games now, I've won 13. My dream is to one day work for England. That is the ultimate aim for me, either as an England goalkeeper coach or England manager.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Yours Mine Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Thank you all for listening. Please make sure you do like, comment and subscribe. It really does help. I've got a guest here that's nodding and knows all about the social media world, which is kind of funny. He's got a huge following and an amazing backstory. His social media presence in the goalkeeping world, especially for his reels, is just incredible. He's got 16 million views on one of them. Just amazing stuff. Please welcome Sam Brown. Tomorrow goalkeeper.
Thank you very much. I need to get that like screen recorded. It's the nicest thing anybody's ever said about me.
No, honestly, I'm so impressed with how you've gone about what you do. And obviously the GoPro footage really does help, and it's your own kind of stuff now. And the commentary aspect does crack me up a lot of the time. Like the goalkeeper has weldy stuff. And
Ironically, I found it upsettingly, normally when you say they have a stinker, it would do so much better.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
that's what everybody wants to see you fail.
Everyone wants to see a goalkeeper fail. That's why I'm here trying to spread a positive message about goalkeepers, because you keep putting goalkeeper as stinker.
Doing the Lord's work, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Trying to make up for me.
Honestly, I'm buzzing to have you on. Like I said, your story is something that I didn't know before today, but I've followed you on social media for a long time now. And obviously the work that you do in the goalkeeping world, and you are a young upcoming goalkeeper coach as well as all of that, to manage what you do is impressive.
I'd say being so young sometimes causes some challenges as well, because obviously I turn around and all of a sudden there's like 38-year-old goalkeepers and I'm 26. I'm like, you have to listen to me, and sometimes I don't know. Don't go down too well, but it's okay most of the time.
Do you find then that those goalkeepers don't listen, or do you find that just because you're a goalkeeper coach, and like obviously I'm 37, so like if I think you're going to help me or improve me, it's worth me listening.
It's some are just understanding, and they're really professional about happy days. And then there's been a couple that I've almost had to lay down the law and then like show that I actually know knowledge.
Yep.
So they'll make a mistake, and almost for the first 3 weeks, it sounds really harsh, but I'm basically critiquing them more than everybody else.
Yep.
So they start thinking, oh, maybe he does know something.
Plus you might shame them on YouTube.
So that's always a big fear for them. So a lot of the older boys don't want to be filmed though.
Do they not?
No,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, that's not about me.
Yeah, so I'm like, to be fair, like that is being a goalkeeper. You're open to like being opened up anyway. Mm. And social media does expose goalkeepers 100%. A lot. So I suppose some of them don't want that as a distraction anyway. Mm.
especially as you get older, probably they're more likely to read the comments than a kid that's just seeing the positive side of it.
Mm. So a lot of the younger guys I work with, so like say from like the EC Academy and like probably up until about 21, they love it. Oh, do we have the GoPro? Do we have this? Do we have this? The second they hit to like 25, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because all of a sudden they're so caught up in their own head about how they're doing and they don't want to be looked bad and all this kind of stuff. When you're younger, you're a little bit more carefree. You just want to play, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And also social media is a lot, they use it a lot more and they're more aware of everything that goes on and how it works almost. Mm. The algorithm that is social media.
They expect hate and they can just kind of brush it off because that's what they're growing up with. So
yeah, but where the older generation, I suppose, any hate is seen as personal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult. Right, I'm going to kick this off with a couple of our quick fire questions. Catch or parry?
I would love to say catch, but I've got such small hands, I've got to parry.
Makes better clips as well, doesn't it? It makes a lot better clips. Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Play short or kick it long?
Kick it long.
Yeah, kick it long. What about the sidewinders that we were talking about before?
I do like a side. I prefer a sidey, but I prefer kicking it long from the deck.
Obviously, we were talking about this off air, but you know, like you see all the clips now of like, especially on other people's, I'm not going to name names, but of them just doing sidewinders 30 yards away to like other players or other goalkeepers. It's just, it's a skill that you'd never use in a match.
No. Or like, very, very rarely.
Like I can only ever remember one goalkeeper that used to distribute like that, and it was Abbandanzieri, the Argentinian goalkeeper.
Blimey. Fair enough.
And he never threw the ball out. So even his left and right back, you go on YouTube and watch.
Okay,
he was
always
incredible. He nearly signed for Arsenal at one point. His distribution was that good, and this was I think this was before Jens Lehmann. I think he did a medical. I think Jens did a. I think there was Paul Robinson did a medical. I think there was loads of keepers at that time. And it was Abbandanzieri. I remember him just because his distribution for Argentina. He played like 60 times for Argentina.
Oh God.
He used to sidewind the ball to his fullback. And I'd never seen a goalkeeper do it in a match before.
Oh, that's content ideas now.
Yeah. Like, honestly, you need to watch some clips. It was incredible. Right. Favourite ever goalkeeper?
See, this is a really, this is kind of an annoying one for me now because I kind of seem like a hipster and I'm just jumping on the bandwagon. But my family's originally from Birmingham, from my dad's side.
Yeah.
And just as I was really getting into goalkeeping, a certain Ben Foster was at Birmingham. So I used to always say, who's your favourite goalkeeper? I was like, Ben Foster, Paul Robinson.
Yep.
And people were like, oh, okay, bit weird. Now obviously everybody follows Ben. So they're like, oh, oh, you're just following Trent. No. But yeah, Ben Foster, Paul Robinson.
He had a couple of unbelievable years for Birmingham as well.
Oh, yeah.
Why Paul Robinson then?
So my uncle is a Tottenham fan.
Yep.
Also my dad and my granddad are Birmingham fans.
Yep.
So just the two keepers that
just
I saw,
fit in,
saw most.
Right. Who do you think is the best goalkeeper in the world right now?
I think it's Alisson.
Yeah.
It's getting repetitive all the time. But yeah.
Obviously everyone goes down like the Alisson route. Obviously you've got Courtois. You've got Ter Stegen. You've got Neuer still, unbelievable goalie, and Edison. But yeah, I think Alisson has all of their attributes.
It's insane. Even if, let's say, Edison's got 10 out of 10 distro, Alisson's got 9, but he's got 9 and 9 and 9, but his 1v1 saves.
His 1v1
saves. Ridiculous. Do you see how he drops both of his knees and just like bear hugs him? It's insane.
Yeah. He's so big. He's imposing. I think that's one of the biggest things is you go back to like the Schmeichels of the world and Oliver Kahns, and you see that in an Alisson. Mm. You see like it's scary to actually go through one on one against him. Yeah. And I suppose that's why he does so well at them because he's got a bit of an edge.
Yeah. It's a little bit more like with the whole bear hug thing. I call it a bear hug, but it's almost throwing back a little bit to older school keeping because a lot of the time now they kind of just stand up and wait for a save where he still goes for him.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a bit of a throwback as well. Like,
definitely. Movie or a box set?
Ooh, probably movie.
Nice. Yeah. Right, and then final one. I always ask this question, my favourite question. Last minute penalty save to win the game or go up and score a goal?
It has to be score a goal.
Score a goal.
That doesn't come across. That doesn't happen very often.
No.
But and if it does, you're always thinking about it.
You're a legend. Like you're a club legend. You're going to get after dinner talks. Everyone's going to talk about it. You're going to get a mural on a wall somewhere. No goalkeeper can get murals.
I've got a friend called Charlie Philpott who was playing for Winchester City and he scored a last minute winner. He's like 5'9", 5'10", but scored the last minute winner. It's like, that's incredible. Yeah, he still shows it and people still talk about
it. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't happen often enough. So, right, let's go back to when it started then. How did you get into goalkeeping?
Well, my dad was a left winger. He's very disappointed I don't have a left foot. It's just for standing on. But I basically started on right wing. then went to centre mid, then right back, then centre back, and just slowly worked further and further back into goal. I don't know. I used to be quick, which was kind of a good attribute, but everything else. I also realised from a very young age, if I played in goal, I'd get more time to actually play.
You get more game time, 100%. So, yeah, yeah.
A bit tactical there.
But. Yeah, but even like my son's team now, you know the goalkeeper plays the whole game and everyone else plays like...
Here and there.
Here and there, they get half game. Mm. The next week
might not
they
start.
Get, yeah, then, exactly, yeah. But like the goalkeeper plays every week and he's an unbelievably good young goalkeeper at 7 years old. But it's still, you just think... He's the one that's a bit different. He's a bit special because he's playing every week, but he gets more attention because he's the one making saves. He's different.
I don't know. Maybe it's just, obviously, I was quite lucky. I was around quite a good group of guys who were very good at playing. And so game time wasn't always guaranteed when I was playing outfield.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just slowly progressed further and further back. So, went into goal at like 10 and never came out.
Yeah. So when you first went in goal, can you remember the first game or the first training session and you actually got the bug for it?
Yeah, 100%. So my first game I ever played in goal, it's clear as day in my mind. I don't know why it's still there, but it was a 2v1 and literally the sideline, I remember seeing all the faces, they're already like, oh, all that kind of stuff. They cut it to the right. I go to like stop them. I didn't really have much tech at the time, but when they cut it back, I just kind of threw my body across and when they shot the ball, it just came off my hands and out. And all of a sudden, I just remember standing up and everybody was just going ballistic. So, locked in forever.
Yeah, see, that's the
thing. Can't forget it.
One of those moments, and that's it. You're just hooked,
you're hooked
then, aren't you?
Forever.
Did you do much goalie training?
Not particularly. No, it sounds really bad considering now I am a goalkeeper coach, but the coaches I worked with were quite traditional. It was just repetitive over and over and over again. And after a while, I was just like, I want to dive about.
Yeah.
So, I did a lot of other stuff. So, I did some dance and I did badminton, all this kind of stuff to improve reflexes, coordination, this kind of stuff. But
was you doing this to help you with football or is this just outside interest?
I mean, I was always, what do they call it? Like a sporting Bobby?
Yeah.
Sporting Bobby, Billy or something like that. I always used to love loads of sports, play rugby, all sorts as well. But most of the time, it was just to improve the goalkeeping. Yep. So,
see, look, my parents used to, we were similar. We did, me and my brothers, we all did loads of sports. We did athletics and like I ended up doing really well at javelin and stuff that. And but then, like, we did karate for about 8 years. Even now, I go to my dad, why did we do karate? Like, should have took us golf or tennis, like a skill that we could use later on in life. And he always just goes back to me, helped your balance be a goalie. And I was like,
He's got you there.
He's fucking right, isn't he? Like,
might become useful.
Yeah.
Mean streets of London.
New one-on-one technique.
Not the bear hug, it's
a
karate
exactly,
chop.
A karate chop. But yeah, so even like you're saying, using other sports to help you, like even like gymnastics and that. We've got a young lad at the moment that's in our academy that does gymnastics or used to do gymnastics and his spring's unbelievable.
Yeah. Flexibility must be amazing as well.
Yeah, so like all these things do help attributes for being a goalkeeper.
100%.
So, like, do you think that they had a big bearing then?
I genuinely, to this day, I genuinely think badminton had a big effect because it's so quick. And it's just rapid. It's hand-eye coordination.
Feet,
if you can stop like I think it goes like 100 mile an hour shuttlecock, can stop a football. That's my thinking anyway, with a smaller surface area. So, who knows?
So, was you just playing Sunday league football or school level?
School and then, so I started off just playing for a local team. Yep. And then I played for my school, did a little bit with my county team and all that kind of stuff. County was kind of good for me because obviously when you're a young keeper, you're the number one starter for your team. You've won a few things. You start thinking, oh, I'm pretty good. I'm feeling myself. I'm pretty decent. You get to a next level and all of a sudden you're like, I've become a number two overnight.
Right, okay.
But it's a good experience because I'd never been a number two before.
Yep.
So then learning how to like support and try and take your chance when you get it. So
That's a great way of learning. How soon after that was you starting to get trials at clubs?
County probably about 6 months after.
Yeah.
But I only started really actually think I could take it really seriously when I turned around 14, 15.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, just as I was really starting to like actually do it, goalkeeper training.
Because you had trials at Bournemouth.
Mossy, he's the one that had a look at me at Bournemouth, gave me a option to carry on. I also then had a Saints one, which I got called back to. But I'd never even got to make the second trial because by that point in between, I'd gotten really ill. So
Can you tell us about this then?
It's kind of a weird thing. The first flare up was, I guess, when I was playing rugby for my school team. I used to be an outside wing, so I just bombed past everybody. I was about 10 yards away from a try.
Yeah.
I just black out, completely cut out. And I think there's a video of it somewhere because friends were filming, oh, look at this, and then black out. It's not like going down the stages. I just went We, you know, got rushed to hospital, getting all this kind of stuff checked. But, you know, it might have just been a one-off. Like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. Happens a week later, and then it happens several more times. And so MRIs, CAT scans, all sorts. So,
incredible. So then, obviously, on that, the doctor's advice, then it was to stop playing football.
Yeah, I couldn't play football. I couldn't go to school. So I missed 2 years of school as well. So,
that's amazing then. So then, obviously, so you 2 years of homeschooling then?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So then, obviously, you've got to then develop other interests and stuff. And,
very quickly.
Yeah. Because, obviously, like, if you're not allowed to do any physical activity, are you? or overexert yourself.
No, pretty much. Then, even, like, walking a couple of miles would just put me in a state where I wouldn't be able to walk for a couple of days, basically. So it was...
God. Yeah. Dealing with that would have been
It was
massive at 15-year-old, did you say?
Yeah. So... And obviously, you'll probably know it as well, when you're a goalkeeper, you're a footballer, it's all you work hard at school. You do. Yeah, mum, I do. I did work hard at school, I promise, But that's kind of all you care about and want and know.
Yep.
So that kind of it's part of your personality in a way. So it gets ripped away and you're like, it was kind of like a midlife crisis at 15. Like, who am I?
Yeah. Who am I? Yeah.
Literally, so,
I bet it affects it, obviously. Not being able to do any sports, but it would affect your moods, your behavior.
Yeah.
I bet you found that sort of stuff at that age tough.
Yeah, so I don't know how deep you want me to go, but I fell into quite a dark depression. I wasn't good. I later found out in life that I've actually got BPD, so that didn't help either. So anybody that doesn't know, it's kind of like bipolar.
Yep.
But with bipolar, you can have like ups and downs every couple of weeks. BPD, it could just spring up and down every day. So
it's uncontrollable as well. You don't know when.
You just, you'll be on top of the world and then like down. On top of the world, then down. So I didn't even know, I didn't have the diagnosis at the time. Yeah. So that was also playing on my head.
So then you found music.
Yeah. So that was actually because of my mum. My mum was a massive musician back in her prime, I guess. So basically gave me a guitar and said, do something with your time. I'd always liked music and everything, but I never really taken it that seriously until then. But
so did you just start learning to play instruments then?
Yeah. In between my hard work and dedication of schoolwork, I was playing guitar. Yeah. Definitely not instead of.
But you've taught yourself how to play guitar.
Yep.
What else did you do?
Drums, bass, piano. I did vocals. So
that's incredible. So then from that, did you enter a band or?
I did I always, once I knew football wasn't an option, I thought it wasn't an option, I went deep into like songwriting, using like the emotions I was feeling as like an outlet, that kind of way. So I did a lot of solo work, I did a lot of like battle of band competitions. I was in a couple of bands, none of them did particularly well. I hope they're not listening, but
you're getting royalties off it now. You want to shout them out?
I did do, so I went to college, went to uni, and all in music. And,
So, and then obviously you then start, your health obviously takes an upturn anyway, and you get the all clear to be able to play football again.
Yeah.
What age did that come at?
So that was just as COVID hit, actually, literally. So
it's typical, isn't it?
It's a really weird situation though. So I just signed for a new songwriting company and I was like, oh, this is amazing. I worked so many years for this. You know, I'm releasing my own music and I'm writing for other people. Perfect. But it was very much COVID then hit 4 months later and it was last in, first out. So it's just, come back in a couple of years because we don't know when you'll be able to tour. We won't know when you can do anything.
Yeah.
It's COVID. We don't know what's going on. But then 2 weeks before COVID happened, I'd had the all clear that I could do sport again. So it's a weird timing. Yeah. So I literally get told I can do sport again. I was like, great, but I can't really do that now. Then I get dropped. And then I'm thinking, well, I might as well go do.
Yeah.
I had some residuals come in and obviously they pay you off.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I've got months now. But you know, you can't really go out and about.
No one can do anything.
So I'm gonna go train in my garden myself and just throw balls at the wall and just see what is still there, I guess.
So. Yeah, yeah. So, but then from that, did you start filming that stuff?
Yeah, pretty soon after. Yeah. So all the things I learned. So my degree was in songwriting and artist development, which is basically just marketing yourself.
Yep.
So I kind of took the theory of that, replaced the music, put football into it,
and started training yourself back up and like your road to recovery almost.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's an amazing story though, obviously. Getting ill and then working out. You found a niche almost at that time for yourself.
Mm. So the GoPro and the goal, this is the one thing that, even though he's one of my idols, I have to have a go at him for, because everybody now says whenever I bring a GoPro out, oh, it's Ben Foster. I was like, technically I was doing it like a year before him, but that's fine. It's okay, whatever.
He's done quite well.
It's made it quite helpful, to be fair, because people used to look at me like I'm a weirdo.
Oh, I bet.
I was putting one in. They were
I bet
like,
it was really frowned upon at first.
Oh, yeah, it really was. Yeah. So many teams were like, we don't want you to do it. I was like, why not? But after Fozzie started doing it, it was just kind of
became a normal
You put one in the GoPro and they're nice. And I'm like, cool.
I bet there's a lot of outfielders that are now jealous that they can't carry around a GoPro.
So
or
many
the
of them start wanting to like those little tiny, tiny ones. So many of them want to wear them. And like the charity games, you see like Danny Aarons and Ginge or like always having the little GoPro on their chest. So.
Yeah. Because the magnetic ones fall off too often, don't they? So Danny Aarons has worn the full like
chest strap.
Oh, it's crazy that. Yeah, you can't get away with stuff like that. So when you got the all clear, you must have been on a proper emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
But then obviously COVID then hits and you're like wanting to get going.
Yep.
But you're 3-4 months without doing anything.
Yeah,
but you're just doing your own stuff.
Yeah.
So then you start training yourself in the back garden. Where did you see yourself going with this?
To be completely honest, I literally just knew that until COVID was done, there's nothing I could do about music because I couldn't go audition or do anything like that. So I'm just going to almost kind of have a little bit of fun with it. As weird as it sounds, I had enough money from the payout to just survive and all that kind of stuff. So I thought, I'll have a go, see where it takes me and who knows, and a bit of fun.
Was you thinking about making a comeback then into your playing, or was you thinking long term, I've got to change the game a little bit and go, right, I'll start my coaching, but there's also other avenues. Like taking the GoPro in the goal was obviously groundbreaking at the time. And
I thought about, at first I thought, can I still play? And obviously, but missing 5-6 years at that point, it was a little, when I did finally get back into it, you know, sometimes you get a little bit rusty, but you know how to catch a ball, you know how to do certain things.
It's like riding a bike. You can still do it to a decent enough level, but can you do it to the elite level?
It's the game sense.
Yes.
My timings, and obviously where I was younger, I was really fit. I did 100 meters. I was quick. I was explosive. And then all of a sudden I put on a little bit more weight. And I still hadn't grown. I used to dominate for my height. I literally turned in year 9. I was this height. I was supposed to, I had a prediction that I was going to be 6'2". But obviously, with what happened, I stunted my growth.
Yes.
So I'm now stuck at 5'11".
So because of your health condition, it stunted your growth as well.
So it's, and obviously, I don't want to go too deep into it. But
course.
I lost, like, at times I wasn't walking and that kind of stuff. So sometimes even when I still kick the ball, I think I'm making contact, but I don't make contact until a little bit later. It's a really weird concept.
Like
to try
muscle atrophy.
Yeah.
Where it's, obviously you've broken down your muscles from inactivity for that amount of time.
I'm trying to re-coordinate. Yep. So I played a couple of games. It was fine, but I kind of realized pretty quick that I would have to throw myself into getting back up to that level. Or at that point, I was already starting to do okay with the socials. So I thought, or I could sidestep, do the coaching, which I love anyway, and then kind of just,
So when was that realization of the coaching aspect sort of stuff? Did you go straight into looking at courses and stuff like that? Or
it's a really, so basically, as soon as I was allowed to do training, like one-to-one and that kind of stuff again, I met a guy called Antonio Brummer, who I became really, really good mates with, who was a goalkeeper coach, because I was looking for goalkeeper coaching. And then on the second time I ever trained with him, he said, oh, you seem to know what you're talking about and this kind of stuff. I'm trying to expand my business. Do you want to come on as a coach? And I hadn't got any coaching badges or anything at that point. So I can, I don't have any badges. So I then instantly went and did my first levels, all that kind of stuff. And it literally just went from there. And I don't know, there's a few things, like I know I was supposed to do some sort of goalkeeping, but with coaching, I genuinely feel like it's what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's wishy-washy as that sounds. Like,
no,
I think I'm a better
path,
coach than I ever was player. But
Well, no, it makes sense though. And then obviously with the side that you do on socials anyway, it must fit in nicely.
Oh,
that,
beautifully.
Because even like we were saying before, like the goalkeepers that you are coaching, for you to then go and watch them, but you're also giving them feedback. It's not just you're getting reels and clips off them. You're actually showing them make mistakes or how to improve.
Yeah. So it's very, so whenever I have the full game, I literally cut the entire game down to every single touch.
Yes.
If it's a goal kick, if it's like a back pass, whatever it is, every single touch they have gets clipped up. Obviously for the social media,
of course.
I take out the boring, punts it long, receives a pass, plays it wide.
Yep.
I put more of the interesting things. Obviously as goalkeepers, we actually find some of those other things interesting.
Yeah,
but for most people, a catch isn't as impressive as a high flying save.
A high flying save coming for a cross through bodies and stuff like that. It doesn't make as great a visual.
No. So obviously with the social media side, I show more of that kind of stuff and try and big them up, hype them up. Because again, some of them have used it as a platform to then send stuff off and actually have opportunities other places,
yes,
which is really cool as well. But then I'll also send them I have a Google Drive with all of their games and their match reports and breaking down every single moment. So
yeah,
it kind of worked well because I've got all that, but then I can also do the social media side with it as well. So yeah.
Do you like the analysis side?
I love the analysis side. I adore it.
Yeah, obviously, like you're saying, if you've got that interest in the marketing stuff and you studied at college and stuff like that, you've naturally picked up a way to look at things in the right perspective anyway. Do you think that obviously translates into how you break the things down to show the goalies?
Yeah, I think that kind of side kind of helps more with the, like, I don't know, the social media aspect, knowing what other people might think and USPs, all that kind of stuff, all the buzzwords people want to throw out, but it is important. And marketing yourself, getting brand recognition. But with the analysis side, I think it's always just, I don't want to use the wrong language. I'm very particular. So that's the PC word of saying it. So I just always love tech. I think good technique can get you very, very far. I think it still matters about how much you actually want it and your passion. But if you have good tech, then it's always going to help. So
is that what you drill into your training sessions then? Technique.
Fitness and tech.
Yeah.
Because if you're a good goalkeeper, I think if you're naturally brave, you're naturally brave. If you're not the bravest, it's hard to... You can do it, don't get me wrong, but if you've got a naturally brave keeper and not one that's a little bit more timid, but they're the same levels and everything else, I always think that naturally he wants to be here, he wants to put his body on the line. You can't teach that.
Desire, can't be taught.
95th minute, you know, you've got to go crunch somebody, you might get kicked in the face, whatever it is.
Are
you
going to do it? They're the best bits. That's the bit that makes me hungry. Yeah, come on. You're saying that, and I'm like, I'll do that. It's like a drug almost.
Yeah.
Like the adrenaline I would rush. Say that, yeah, it is. It's the goal. Most goalkeepers I've ever met and worked with is we like the fact that we should be hurt, but we just get on with it. It's like we always call it the don't rub it thing.
Yeah.
So like you get kicked in the face and you're like, don't rub it, don't show weakness. Like that's just the mentality of a goalkeeper. We're 100%. The ones that want to dive around and want to get dirty.
Mm. It's so I had a really bad, so I broke and dislocated my finger.
Nice.
So that's the one that barely moves anymore.
Right.
So I got 60% mobility in it and I carried on playing the rest of the game with it just flopping about.
Yeah.
And afterwards they're like, you know, people are like, ugh, and
it's just a finger.
Cutting the glove off, but it's just like,
It'll be all right.
It'll be right. It's still there. So.
Yeah, exactly. A bit of tape and we'll be sound. Yeah. Right. I want to test your goalie noise before we carry on then. So I've already briefed
you. I've been sweating about.
So goalie or no goalie, I've got five current goalkeepers from the Premier League 2 for you.
Okay.
Because you work in academy. And then I've got five made up names. Well, they're not made up names. I've got five actors from the newest series out.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay.
Oof.
So it's 1 point for each correct answer. How do you reckon you're going to do?
When I play along at home, I normally get like 6 or 7, and I guarantee I'll get 2.
Yeah, I've switched up a bit here.
Oh,
right,
no.
So number one, Luca Hunter.
Goalie.
He is a goalkeeper. Oh, he is the
star strong.
He is a goalkeeper at Tottenham.
Oh, beautiful stuff.
Yep. Number two, Theo James.
Not a goalie.
He is not a goalkeeper.
Oh, get in.
He is the actor in The Gentleman.
Oh, okay.
New series.
Oh,
really
that.
Good series as well. I've just finished watching it. Really good series.
Oh, I love that.
Right, number three, Jacob Knightbridge.
Goalie.
He says with hesitancy, he is the West Ham Premier League Premier League 2 goalkeeper.
Good start.
Happy days. Flying.
I can finish there. I'm happy.
Yeah, definitely. Right, number four, Cole Hauser.
Why does that one ring a bell? But I don't know why it rings a bell. Goalie.
He is not a goalkeeper. He plays Rip Wheeler in Yellowstone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A series that I've been told loads about. I've not started yet. There's a couple that I'm going to mention in a minute. Right. Number five, Fabian Moretz. I'm so bad with pronunciation. Fabian Rozek. I'm guessing it's silent M. Rob, looking at you approvingly. Mrozek.
I'm going to say not a goalie, but, you know, the pronunciation might have thrown
me off. Yeah, it might have thrown you off. I'll tell you how it's spelled. It's Mrozek.
I'm dyslexic, so I ain't going to help.
Just said anything. So no goalie?
No goalie.
He is a goalkeeper. He is the Liverpool Premier League 2 goalkeeper.
Oh, I really should have known that.
Mrozek? Mrozek. Apologies for any bad pronunciations. Right, number six, Aaron Motton.
not a goalie.
He is not a goalkeeper. Get he him. Plays Maximus in the new series Fallout, which I can't wait to start watching. Remember the game Fallout?
What, the like Fallout 76?
Yeah, so there's
like,
a series now that's coming out.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
So oh, Fallout. I think they've only done Fallout 3 was my jam.
Yeah, so I can't wait to start watching that. Right, number 7, Hiroyuki Sanada.
Goalie.
He is not a goalkeeper. He is an actor in the new series Shogun.
Ah.
Very famous actor as well. Right, number 8, Eli Harrison.
Goalie.
He is a goalkeeper for, you want to have a guess?
I should have a look at
Manchester United.
Oh, I was going to say City, to be fair.
He's one of the goalkeepers at Man U.
Ah.
Yeah, I've actually heard of him. I think he had a loan spell somewhere. Right, number 9, Ovi Ihiri.
Goalie.
He is a goalkeeper. Oh, he is.
I'm over the moon with this.
He is the Arsenal Premier League 2 goalkeeper.
Ah. So I think... No, that's a different one. Don't worry. I'm thinking of another keeper that was... who did he film with? I can't remember who he filmed. With Mini Minter.
Oh, right, okay.
I can't remember who it was now. He's a Spurs keeper, though,
is he? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Decent, right. Number 10, Jonathan Banks.
Not related to Gorm Banks, is he?
Wow. Possibly.
Not a goalie.
He is not a goalkeeper. Oh, Bud in the series Constellation.
Okay, cool. Yeah, happy days.
Big actor. 7 out of 10, Sam.
I'm over the moon with that.
Yeah, it's good going, that. Good guessing. Very good guessing.
I can relax now. I can just sit back.
Yeah. Right, I want to talk to you about your role at Eastleigh then.
100%.
Obviously, you said that you're working from all age groups pretty much.
Yeah.
Right, down to what age group is so the youngest?
I don't work with the first team I don't work with. Obviously, Vince Bartram's there now, so former Arsenal.
Yeah.
But, and the EDS, Vince still does a lot with. Then there's a guy called Jamie Wiseman, who's technically my boss. Who works throughout some of the other ones, but I'll step in. So that's one of the sessions I'm doing tonight. I'm having to actually.
Oh, nice.
Because he's really badly hurt his back. So I'm actually stepping in.
Stepping in for a while, yeah.
Yeah, so fuse 2 and like slipped the disc. So bad way.
That's not great, that. It's going to need an epidural and that, isn't it?
Ooh, honestly. So all the way from the under 10s all the way up to under 18s, I'd say.
So you're obviously, especially goalkeepers going through that age group. Mm. Go for a lot of changes emotionally, physically. Is that something that you always have to factor in then?
Definitely. And a lot of them, like...
The puberty stage for any age, like for any kid, is difficult.
I've seen some kids already come through that were like really confident as kids and they kind of shied away and then are just regaining that again.
Yep.
Does that make sense? And then there's some that are polar opposite. But it's, sometimes I think the biggest thing I have seen, and I know it's such a cliche, but it is annoying, if they haven't had their growth spurt yet, you sometimes just see their confidence fall off a cliff.
Yep.
Even though if they might be one of the best technically there, because they're not as big as like, I don't know what they feed some of these keepers now. I've got a 15-year-old who's 6'5".
Wow.
You're just looking around like, what is going on?
See, when they do go through those growth spurts, I had it when I was that age, but I lost all my coordination for a bit.
Really?
And it like, but do you spot that? Can you see when goalkeepers... coordination's gone or their balance is slightly off and and like they're not quite at it and they you can see that.
Yeah, it's to be fair, what I do quite like where I am at Eastleigh at the moment is you kind of can just pull them aside and you just drill them until they're more ready again.
Yep.
Obviously some, you know, Cat One academies might be very like very on top of it, like not good enough, gone, because they've got so many options. But here we still have to make sure we're developing what we've got and then trying to keep progressing them. But so the mental side, I think, is one of the hardest parts for any keeper to go through, especially young keepers, because you build resilience as you grow up. You remember all the ones you've thrown in your own goal and all that kind of stuff. 100%.
At that age group, is there quite a high turnover of kids that come in and out?
Yeah, so it's, from what I heard, it used to be a higher turnover, but we're giving more and more of a chance at the moment. Yep. But it's still once or twice a season. So midway through, if it's really not up to scruff, we've obviously got talent ID groups as well, which might step up. So.
Yep.
There's actually a couple that I've worked with from the talent ID group that have, and in private sessions that have then stepped up into the actual academy. Okay. And that's obviously a great feeling for them and as the coach, because thinking they weren't good enough, but now they are.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the way of football is they're going to go up. Somebody's going to have to go.
Yeah, that's the thing. So obviously there's pros and cons to it all. If you're pushing someone on and they're doing really well, do you then have to have the same conversations with the people that are not doing so well?
Luckily, I've managed to avoid a lot of them
because
obviously... my boss tends to do more of that because he's been doing it at Donkeys and he's just used to it. But there's been a couple of situations that, not even just Eastleigh, but other clubs I've had to go to and say, really sorry, but
yeah. See, like that's obviously a horrible thing to do. Do you find it's the parents that don't respond as well?
Yeah. So sometimes the kids, like, I've only had to do probably one or two handfuls of people like that, but the majority of the time it's because I don't know, a lot of the time I feel like parents live a lot through their kids.
Of course,
and it's, they kind of start, I've had a couple of experiences where they've almost started buying fancier cars and nicer places and started spending more, even though their kids are still 16 and they haven't made it yet.
Wow.
And when they get released, they're like, but he was supposed to be our hope to be able to buy all this stuff. And the amount of pressure those kids must be under must be ridiculous.
Yeah. Like you said, like parents do live through their kids a bit, and especially you get a lot now that are trying to push their kids into football and they don't realise the margins that actually do make it.
Mm. What is it, 1%, something like that?
I think it might be even lower
0.001 make it into like a top two league or something.
Yeah, exactly. So mental. Like it's so difficult now to, and even like the average playing career length now, when you get reach professional, is 7 years. Crikey. So the longevity aspect is so hard. So even like these parents or the kids that are trying to get there don't realise that it's not going to last for long.
No.
You've got to make the most of your time.
100%. And a lot of them don't realise that professional level doesn't mean just Premier League where they're going to be earning 40K a week.
Exactly.
You know, all the way down to National League South and North, and then you're into places like Southern League and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So, which is more semi-pro, but you get what I mean? Like, just because your son might play professional, you might not be earning 10 grand a week. So don't buy that Merc yet.
No, exactly. Yeah. And obviously, like, I always make sure people have other interests and they're still educating themselves because it's so, as a professional footballer, the hardest thing was to not be distracted. Obviously, everything I did from 6 years old till I signed my YTS papers at 16 was to become a professional footballer. So when people were telling me, you still got to do well in school, you don't realise that until you're 36, that it's so important. And that's what's obviously part of an educator, a coach's role, is to still make sure people are on the right track.
I think that's, obviously scholarships have become more and more of a thing. So they are coming out with some qualification, but you still see like, they'll do like 3 hours worth of study and they'll just then be like, either one really stressed about it and then they're off their game, or they are so quick to get out to the pitch they haven't done that, so it's one or the other.
So
the schooling can then either impact the goalkeeping, or the goalkeeping impacts like the schooling. So
100%,
it's
nightmare. That's 22. Right, I want to get onto the social media side then more. Like I said, you've got 60 million views on one of your reels. Just insane. Do you see that happening before it happens? Can you predict the clips that will do well?
I used to think I could, and then some of them that you think, this is going to bang, this is going to be awesome, flop. And then, so the 16 mil one, I thought, that's a pretty good one. It might get 1 or 2 mil, and then it just blew up. I was like, oh my. So there was one on TikTok as well, which I think is 21 mil. And I just thought it was just going to be an average video. And it just didn't stop.
That's crazy.
Every day I was just looking back as like an extra mil views. I was like, what is going on?
So are you looking at stuff that will work well in the algorithm, or are you just going, this is the right clip for that game and that's it?
I try and balance it out a little bit more now, because otherwise I feel like you get in your head too much.
Yep.
So I'm trying to, obviously with TikTok moving toward long form content, but YouTube still wanting to be shorter content on that, it's difficult balance to find anyway.
Yep.
So I'm trying to do the longer stuff for TikTok a couple of times a week, and then the shorter stuff for YouTube a couple of times a week, and then cross promote as well. Maybe,
because obviously, like we spoke about off air, but the YouTube longer form content is a real struggle.
Yeah.
But to do the short form stuff, you've done unbelievably well in, and it's trying to find the perfect mix. Because financially, you need to make it work as well.
100%.
And obviously, the longer form stuff will earn more ad revenue. But if it's the short stuff that works, you need to keep churning 100%. It out, don't you?
Yeah. So obviously, I managed to get 100K plaque, which is
insane. Incredible.
That's like a life dream when you're growing up. Like, seeing all these massive people get a silver play button, you're like, oh, one day maybe I might just get it.
Yeah.
And now it's hanging on my wall. I'm like, oh my.
Yeah.
But that all came from the shorts. But,
yeah, that's what I mean. And like, obviously, we've churned out, I think, 65 episodes now, and we're still at that 10K subs. And you think, like, you just got to keep the consistency.
It's a slow burn.
Now we've started to get more into doing actual training sessions and showing more stuff like that, because you've got to be diverse. You've got to show everyone every aspect of what you do.
Especially since, obviously, for your level as well, everybody wants to see you. Like, there's a lot of people out there saying, this is how you train like a pro goalkeeper, and they play Sunday League.
Yeah.
But you're a pro goalkeeper, and you have been for a long time. So they want to see behind that curtain.
Of course, yeah. And like some of the TikTokers I've worked with and that, like, they don't realize how hard that we actually do kick a ball in comparison to a YouTube or a TikTok. Yeah. And even like when I was going in goal, and I would make some of their shots look so easy that they thought were good shots.
Yeah.
And it made them up their game, and they actually had to score weldies.
Yeah.
But they would use that one clip.
Over and over again.
Over and over again.
I beat a pro goalkeeper.
Yeah. And it's like, I beat a pro goalkeeper from 30 yards out, but it was 1 out of 100.
Yeah, literally.
But you don't have to paint that picture in a clip.
Mm. It's amazing what editing can do sometimes. But yeah. I think the biggest thing I've found from working, like I've been lucky enough to work with like some very, very good goalkeepers, like pro keepers here and there. The consistency as well.
Yep.
Like, I'll name drop a little bit. When I worked with EA and that kind of stuff, and worked with Ilamelia, we did a penalty shootout, and all of us were trying to take pens, and we just thought he just knew what we were going to do, and he would just catch it like it was nothing. We had people that putting full welly were thinking, "Oh, this is going top," but he just catches it. And he wouldn't even dive for something. And I'm like, "What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing that?" And like crosses, we did like a training session.
Yeah,
cross coming, just didn't drop anything.
Yeah,
didn't matter how hard you pushed, you like. Three people against him.
Just
you want to try it again?
Yeah.
Leaves and trainers.
Yeah.
It's a joke. Oh,
yeah. I've seen it on the AstroTurf indoor. Like, it's incredible. Mm. See, like, does that give you inspiration then when 100%. You see like the elite doing it?
100%. Like, the second I worked with him, that was kind of a big make or break moment for me as well, because I kind of realized I can do the social media side as well. Like, this is a possibility. But I took that, and basically, ever since I work over and over and over again, you know, the classic motto, don't do it to its right, do it till you can't get it wrong.
Yeah.
And my keepers hate me for it.
Yeah.
But after a while, they start seeing the improvements when they're taking, because a lot of goalkeeper coaching now, I'm not saying it's wrong, everybody can coach in different ways, each keeper needs different coaching. But I think when you're younger, getting those reps in over and over and over again, I don't see it enough where you make them dive 100 times, you make them catch a ball 100 times, and then on a half hole, and then a dipper over and over and over and over again. That's kind of what I grew up with more. And obviously now it's more, let's make sure your spread saves lovely, and let's do this, and how's your ping, and which is important, don't get me wrong, but I still think it's also important to...
It's muscle memory, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't have to think about it after a while.
Yeah, yeah. You need to train them to have good technique, but to be able to do it consistently.
And when you're under stress and don't even think about it.
Yeah, and like the different scenarios, different weather conditions, different playing conditions, different times of the game call for different types of saves. Yeah. It's like the education behind why 100%. A goalkeeper is doing it as well.
Mm.
Like obviously, like you're saying, like the consistency aspect is huge. Like the more touches of the ball that any goalkeeper in any session can have is the best way of learning.
I think talking on that, I remember something, it was with David Cole, I think.
David Cole, yeah.
Yeah, you guys were talking about kicking into the wind and that kind of stuff. And again, listening to that, I was like, that's such a good thing. But I know so many keepers don't even think about
Don't even think about it,
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so like that. Honestly, but like I'm working with pro goalkeepers that don't know that.
Blimey.
And it's just, but that's, you have to do it to figure it out. Mm. And like I knew it from years ago that like you can't kick directly into the wind, no matter what it's saying. So you need to create yourself that advantage. And that's all that is I kick across the wind.
Yeah,
and
say, it ends up working. Yeah, 100%.
And even though you think, I'm not going to be able to kick it as far, if you're kicking directly into the wind, it ain't going far anyway. So you may as well.
It's less accurate in the first place.
Exactly, So all these sort of things, it just takes practice and stuff like that. What about the reception you get from your own goalkeepers then with the cameras? I know we've talked about the old v young.
Yeah.
What about the oppositions as well?
It's a nightmare. If they score, without doubt, they're like looking at it. If they get a penalty, I basically told my keepers at this point, they're going to try and rattle the camera.
Yeah, just hit the
and
camera.
And 9 times out of 10, they try and rattle the camera.
But then you're probably making your keepers make more penalties.
Oh, yeah. We actually had a penalty shootout last night for a team I worked with. Called Hyde and Dibden, and my keeper Luke Deacon, he made 2 penalty saves.
Yep.
Insane.
Protect the camera. Is that your motto in training? Protect the camera.
But yeah, so a lot of the younger ones absolutely adore it, but it's then when somebody scored, especially, you know, you might face like I don't want to generalize, but I'm in like the Wessex Prem, so Pompey teams, they love it. Yeah. They score past you, they're going right up to the camera and like,
But then again, from the flip side of that, it's not great for your goalie, but it makes great clips.
Yeah.
So you're benefiting in 2 ways. Obviously, your own goalkeeper is an educational tool.
Yeah.
And like we were saying before, that you're able to do both.
Yeah.
But also strip it down to know what works for you. But socials.
It's also then they kind of get used to it because they see it again and again that, you know, these people want to score past you.
Yeah.
And if you don't make these saves, they're going to take the mick out of you.
Yeah.
But that's why you have to work even harder to make sure if you face him again, you don't let him score, because otherwise he's going to do the same thing.
Do you find as well that some goalkeepers will up their game knowing there's a camera behind 100%. Because they know that the faults will get shown, but also there will be a highlight reel if they do well.
Yep. Yeah. So some of them just, so a guy called Mac Allen, who's now playing at Bournemouth, sensational goalkeeper, one of the best I've worked with, especially at his age group, ridiculous keeper. There was one game where I didn't have the GoPro. He had a fine game, but then the next game I had a GoPro and I think he had a much harder opposition, but he was just putting save after save. Yep. And there's a couple of times I put in the notes, he looks down at the camera after, like he's pulled up a worldie, like top hand off onto the bar.
He wants to make sure that red light's on.
Yeah, bounces back. They take another shot and he's making like a double save. So off into the bar, bang, bang, second save. And he's like pumped up and then he looks back. And I'm like, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so again, like he's making sure that that light's on because he wants that clip.
Yeah.
So it works both ways almost.
Yeah, it's the one afterwards. Make sure you send me that. Make sure you send me that. Yeah, yeah, I will. Yeah.
What about your captions then that you add to the... Obviously?
Yeah, I tried to do some voiceovers, but it just didn't seem to do as well. Obviously with the text-to-speech one, everybody gets so used to it now that it kind of just hooks them in, especially if you lose a big, like, has a worldie or the reserve Stinger. Keeper or...
Yeah.
Red card and, you know, so.
So are you just generalizing that because you know that they work then?
Yeah. And then we get into more of the nitty-gritty after. You have to hook their attention first.
Do you have to change that for different platforms?
Sometimes, yeah, depending on. So Instagram's kind of a weird one. You don't have to hook as hard to start with, but you have to make sure that you're constantly showing something decent.
Yep.
Whereas TikTok, if you hook them early, or YouTube, you hook them really, really early, it seems to do a little bit better anyway, because that roll off is always going to happen anyway. Yeah. But yeah,
is that also, I find when I use TikTok, you never know the actual length of the video. Not many people check for the line at the bottom, so whether your clip's 5 seconds or a minute long, you actually, their engagement longer because they don't know how long they're going to be watching for.
And then if they get gripped, they, oh, now he's made a cool save, or oh, he's made a bad error.
Yep.
What is he going to make another error, or is he going to make another save? Is he going to recover? Is he going to mess this up? So
yeah, so I find that really interesting about changing for different platforms.
It's storytelling.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, isn't it? Go back in to the working with the EA then. How did that all come about?
At first, I thought I was being scammed, I'll be honest, because I just got a DM off of Insta, and I thought it was one of my mates on a wind-up. So I put it in the group chat, like, who is it?
Who is it,
And they're like, no, mate, that's sick. I was like, no, come on, who is it? And then it turned out to be true. So it's when he got his like special card for being like an up-and-comer last season. And so we got to film some content just to like basically show off how good he was.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
And he's good.
He's big as well, wasn't he?
Massive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got told as soon as I turned up, he said, you know, the person that was like running it for EA, he's like, you know, he's tall, you know, he's French. He does speak English, but you know, he might be very standoffish.
Yep. Just,
you know what it is. I took one of my other keepers who's 6'4". And the first thing I said to him, I've never felt so small in all my life. Yeah. And he just cracked about laughing. Oh, and we just got on really well after that. Yeah.
So even like with that, was you able to put on as much as you wanted, or was it you were told you're allowed 10 minutes to do this?
I had to have everything I wanted to do confirmed beforehand. Okay. So I couldn't just turn up and say, we're going to do this. It had to be like before the shoot approved, basically.
Yeah.
And then obviously, let's say it didn't happen, to be fair to him. If I'd like megged him and then gone around him and then embarrassed him, never going to happen, but I wouldn't be able to show that. But that was, again, never gonna happen. We turned up, it was like, that's not gonna happen. But then you get given a time slot and just have to get it done.
Get as much content as you can out of that time. Do you have to get that approved then?
Yep. So then before you post it, then also have to send them off drafts. If they're not happy with it, edit again, do this, do that. Use certain sounds, use certain captions.
Right, okay, So it is, a lot of it's controlled, but it's also,
what an opportunity.
Yeah.
You do it every day.
Incredible opportunity. Have you had more opportunities like that since?
So there was a live penalty one I was supposed to go do, but I unfortunately broke my wrist and two fingers. So I couldn't go do it. There's a lot of charity games as well, which is the main thing I'm really focusing on. I've got a good record. So
for
those ones, I'm not the goalkeeper coach, I'm managing them. And out of 14 charity games now, I've won 13.
So nice. Yes.
Trying to keep that going.
See, like those opportunities and stuff like that, you've obviously been at Selhurst and at Leighton Orient, you've had some unbelievable opportunities. How do these come about? Just because of your social media following as well? And
so social media following, I then know people and all this kind of stuff, because I knew certain other people. That's why I wear Puma gear now, because like exclusivity. So I only wear Puma boots, even though I used to wear Adidas, all the Puma gear of my like personal brand. Yep. Obviously, if I'm wearing club stuff, I'm allowed to wear.
Yeah, of course. You know,
a rare, obviously for Eastleigh, I'm allowed to wear a rare. Yeah. Because that would make it a little bit awkward.
Yep.
But if I'm not working for a club, it has to be Puma now and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, insane opportunities just come out. And sometimes they just come out of nowhere.
Yeah, of course. So. Yeah. And like you said, it's more about the connections that you've got and the people that you know that they'll recommend you or other people to put you forward and vice versa. It works the same way that like, that's how the world goes around, really. You want good people to do well. And do you find that those opportunities are a bit daunting at first? Or do you, because you do a lot, you do it all yourself, obviously. Mm. You don't really have an outside help, do you?
No. So it's all run by little old me. The one that I was most terrified for was I did a shoot with Ball Launcher and they were going to see if we can catch an 80-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, I'll do it. Yeah. What an experience. But Dutch was there and he caught it.
Yeah.
I think if I had two more goes, I could have caught it.
You reckon?
But
yeah.
I only got like 10 goes. So I think I could have just.
From what distance was that?
It was just said edge of the box.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Penalty spot.
Cool, yeah, right, okay.
It was quick.
Yeah, quick.
Because they ramp it up. So it starts at 40, like, it's a doddle. And then it gets to 70, you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then 80, it's almost like just a ramp. And you're like, oh,
yeah. But
that was daunting because I knew the keepers that I was working with were most likely going to catch it. And I'm like,
I don't want to be the one that does it.
Yeah, literally. Yeah,
yeah. Is there any content creators that you're desperate to work with or that you've got lined up?
I don't know what I'm allowed to say lined up. Wise, there is obviously some people I do want to work.
Yeah,
Fossey being one of them.
Yeah, of course.
One of the new games that I'm managing in, I'm going to be up against Mark Goldbridge.
Nice.
So that's going to be really
him.
Cool.
Christ, I think the world will want you to beat him.
So it's going to be Goldbridge Ball versus Brown Ball. So we'll find out. Yeah, there is stuff coming along, but I just don't know how much I'm allowed to say.
Yeah. You don't have to reveal stuff. Yeah.
If I could, I would, but
yeah,
I don't want it to fall through because I've got excited.
No, of course, no. Let's talk a little bit about goalkeeper gloves then. Mm-hmm. Right, obviously doing what you do, you've been open to a lot of different brands and stuff like that. What have you personally found about goalkeeper gloves?
The thing, I always used to love negative cut.
Yep.
I thought it was the bee's knees. And then ironically, I started using roll cut more. I fell in love with it.
Yep.
Again, the smaller hands, it's just more contact on it. So I bounced around from a different couple of brands and all this kind of stuff, but that's where I was quite lucky. So I worked with a company called Goalkeepers Anonymous.
Yes.
So GA, they're based over in Ireland, but they sell a wide variety of like high quality goalkeeper gloves.
Yep.
So I've been able to like test out what I actually like.
Yep.
Obviously I did a couple of shoots with one glove and I have fallen in love with what one glove do. So I'm very much wearing them the majority of the time. I've worked with some other really good brands like Calliair and Titan, all this kind of stuff. They are fantastic Voss.
Yep.
But one glove is kind of like my go-to now.
Do you find that like if you could fuse one of the gloves into like a couple of different, like a different cut from a cut from Calliair, the latex from the one glove, the strap, like it would just make the best glove ever.
Yeah. So Calliair's like their... Obviously, so many are strapless now.
Yes.
I am a little bit partial to a strapless glove sometimes.
It's weird. I find it weird. But no one's come to me yet with a glove for me to wear with, because I wear spines in a few of my fingers.
Oh, really?
So, like, I don't think that would be possible.
Yeah, because you go hyperlight and then all of a sudden you've got spines.
Yeah.
But how tight it is on the wrist is so nice.
Yep.
One glove isn't bad by any stretch, but I like it really, really tight.
Yep.
So
wear a strap. Just wear a strap. That's what they're there for.
They
no?
fluff about too much.
Obviously a well-made glove's so important. Mm. And obviously you'll see it from like coaching 10-year-old kids.
Yeah.
See, like, what advice do you give them about gloves?
So many of them turn around and start buying, the Adidas, the Preds are amazing gloves.
Yeah.
Super, super sticky. I've tried them myself, but they wear away so quickly. Yeah. And they're like, why are these wearing out so quickly? And I'm like, you're playing on Astro. And they're only supposed to last a certain amount of time. Yeah. It's super soft latex. That's why I always do push for like what people used to call the mid brands.
Yes.
But they're growing and growing and growing. Like the One Glove, Calliair, that kind of stuff.
AB1s. There's loads of unbelievable brands out there.
Because you get 4mm German latex, which is more durable.
Yeah.
It's still super tacky. And if you're 10, you don't need the greatest grip in the world.
No, exactly. So. Yeah. Even like down to kids looking after their gloves, I find so important.
100%.
So like obviously... Even now, when people train with me and their gloves are dirty and their boots are dirty, I find it like it's like a mark of disrespect to the session. Do you find that as a coach?
Yeah, I have a pet peeve, and I've banned it in my sessions, is when keepers use Vaseline on their gloves.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Purely just because I know some of the other guys, if you're playing pro, it's fine because you can get some more gloves. But some of the other guys that are there, they might, I know there's backgrounds, they might only get one pair of gloves for a season.
Yeah, 100%.
So if it starts messing them up, I know that that's not fair on them. So I've just banned it. The second you turn 18, you're allowed to do it, because at that point, I think you should.
You know, it's your own man. Yeah, almost.
Your own man, get your own gear. But when your parents are paying for it, I'm a little bit more like.
Because it does, it ruins your gloves. Mm. And like,
it's very good. Yeah, but it does.
It's unbelievable for one session, two sessions. But I always say, like, that's like the worst case scenario. You shouldn't be training like that every day. Right. You shouldn't be playing like that every game.
You get too confident and used to it.
Yeah, exactly. Because then when you actually put a new pair of gloves on and you haven't got that, it's a weird, like, where's 100%. So like I always say, like, if it's the most torrential rain you've ever played in, chuck on an old pair of gloves just for kickoff. Don't even warm up in them.
Mm.
Because you might warm up in a decent pair of gloves or a normal pair of gloves and go, no, I tell you what, I'm confident enough today in these. But if you're not, that's when you go, this is slightly different. This might offer me something slightly different. Mm. I mean, we did a filming session on our pitch the other day, and I noticed on our crossbar, on our post, someone has got a big blob of Vaseline.
Oh, really? So
one of our opponents we must have played against in the last couple of weeks has done it. And I'm like, it's still quite disrespectful to leave it on the post.
Yeah.
Obviously, and then I was thinking in this session, I was thinking, what about if the ball hits?
I was just thinking the same thing. What if it does?
Is it going to react differently off the post? So I've pulled our groundsman and went, there's something on the post, you need to clean that off. I was like, because you just don't know.
Small margins.
Yeah, 100%. And you're always looking for these sort of things.
Yeah, you'd be mad if you make it like a fingertip save and normally it just skim out. And then because of that, it grips in and goes in.
Exactly, yeah.
Human, wouldn't you?
100%. And then finally, obviously, I want to talk about the last bit of content stuff. Where do you see goalkeeping content going? Because obviously we've seen the Theo Bakers and the Chris MDs and it's free kicks from outside the box and it's like the perfect goal. Goalkeeping's so different.
Mm. I genuinely think there's a lot of guys that have done some incredible work doing some very appetizing, like easy on the eye kind of goalkeeping, like really nice side ones, great control, catching with one hand, high dive saves. But I think a lot of it now is because a lot of people are doing the same thing. It's starting to turn more towards they want to see if you can do that, can you also play in goal?
Yep, okay,
So I think I was speaking to, I won't name them, but I've been speaking to a couple of guys who did some more of that content, but now just showing that they are just tremendous goalkeepers as well.
Yep.
Because people just say, oh, it's just flashy, blah, 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 because everybody hates online.
Yeah, no, unfortunately. Of course,
But I think it's going to start slowly, especially after what Ben did. Game footage is becoming more and more relevant on TikTok, on YouTube. I'm seeing more and more of it. And it makes it harder because my niche is kind of, I'm trying to have to adapt to it a little bit.
Yep.
So my whole thing is now I'm trying to show high quality goalkeepers instead of just Sunday League goalkeepers.
Yeah. Because obviously I was saying to you off air and stuff, but I want to see the flashy stuff that YouTube goalkeepers do, the sidewinders and the top hand saves. I want to see them do that, but make it relevant in a game. So if they're showing us a reel or a clip of that, show us when they've done it in a game.
When the pressure's on. Yeah, and you only get one chance to do it.
That's it, yeah. So I would love to see more realistic game scenario stuff, because I feel like that we should all be educating.
100%.
There's stuff that's there for us to look nice and feel nice and to highlight goalkeeping, but there's also an educational tool behind it. And I think that's where like yours is a very good hybrid of that, because you're showing realistic game situations and keepers doing things in games for right or wrong reasons. Yeah.
So you're never there just to, obviously you're working, you have a close working relationship with goalkeepers, goalkeeper coaches. It's a union at the end of the day, but I'm not just going to kill them if they made a terrible mistake. There's been ones that they've made a mistake. I haven't posted it for weeks. I've let it become more dull so they don't care as much, and then I'll show it. But you know, if they have an absolute stinker and it's a horror show, I'll be like, oh, corrupted footage went.
Of course, you have to protect them
exactly.
as well.
But it's also, if they make something good but then also bad, show the contrast. Yeah. Goalkeeping isn't a position where it's always going right.
And
it's not always perfect.
Yeah,
and it's actually sometimes the best saves and the best keepers are the ones that can make something when it's not a perfect situation.
Yep. Right. And then before I ask my final question, what's next for you as a goalkeeper coach?
I really want to just keep developing. Obviously, I'm still quite a young coach.
You're still young. Yeah. You're 24. 26.
26
now. 26.
I'll take 24.
Yeah. I think I read that on one of your descriptions. You haven't changed that. That's your fault.
Ooh, my bad.
26, yeah. So you're still very young.
I'm a baby as a goalkeeper
coach.
So it's just trying to get as much knowledge as physically possible, work with as many high-level keepers and goalkeeper
keep
coaches.
Keep experiencing.
That learn, and then just keep progressing up the ranks.
Yeah.
My dream is to one day work for England.
Yep.
That is the ultimate aim for me.
Yeah.
Either as an England goalkeeper coach or England manager. That's
Really? Yeah, yeah. You find that that's the target.
100%. So it's now just,
you know, implementing all the little bits.
Every single little bit of knowledge you get, just banking it, writing it down, you know, going over it over and over again. Yep. Just become the best coach I can be, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So in terms of coaching badges, where are you?
I need to get my UEFA B, yep. But it's been a nightmare to get onto just because obviously COVID and then it's just...
I tried to sign up for my B this year, but due to holidays and the end of the season, I can't even get on it this year.
Yeah, it's a waiting game. I've been waiting for 2-3 years now for it. So it's just... Fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's a lottery sometimes.
No, exactly. You have to just keep doing what you're doing. And obviously, like I said, like you develop anyway without badges, coaching.
100%.
The more experience that you've got, the more hours that you're putting in on a training field, you'll realise right and wrong yourself.
Yeah.
The more analysis that you can do, 100%. Even watching other people's sessions and other people's games.
All the time.
You're learning, aren't you?
100%.
Like it doesn't matter what, if you're watching a Premier League game or if you're watching the local game down the park, you'll see things in the game that you could go, I could change that.
Yeah. I, in a weird roundabout way, I think it's kind of a good thing because if I'd done my UEFA B 2 years ago, I probably would have been wrecking it. I'm lucky enough to work with, you know, A-license coaches, pro-license coaches who have told me after working with me for a while, you'll breathe through B. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes me, you feel more confident. Yeah. Then I feel like I'm going to go in there and actually not be so stressed, but learn more and actually develop better as well.
But also when they ask to see your working hours, you'll go, oh, I've done this, I did this. Mm. This week, I've got this session on.
Mm. Do you want to come to this session or this one or this one or this one?
And you, instead of going, oh, I haven't actually taken a session yet, because you get a lot of players get to my age and they've never taken a training session. Or you get like ex-players that go, oh, I haven't actually taken a session. I've just been involved in them. I should be able to. I should be all right.
It's a completely different thing.
It's a completely different thing when you're actually asked to, where's your bibs? Where's your cones?
Yeah.
Like the fundamental things.
What if something goes wrong? All of a sudden you thought you had 3 goals.
How
now
to
you got 2.
It, yeah.
You, on the fly, you have to adapt it. Keep the same reason why you're there, the same like session plan, but adapt it. To...
Adapt it, yeah. For the number of servers that you've got or even...
Somebody goes down injured.
Half the time it's the goal availability. You've got to wheel a goal halfway across the pitch to make sure it's ready for the five sides. And that's where a lot of goalkeeping coaches and goalies get frustrated because often there's 2 goals, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
And you're using one of them and it's not in the right place for where they need it for five sides or set piece, whatever it might be. And you're the ones that are 5 minutes into your session, moving a goal about, setting up cones. And
It's definitely getting better, but we're biased, obviously. I still think some of the disrespect towards goalkeepers and just that if a coach wants it set up before, let them do it.
Yeah.
We're such a specialised position. Like if a right back has to play right wing, they can do it. We've seen it when outfielders go in goal. Unless you're Kyle Walker, it's a horror show.
It's a calamity. I've got one pet peeve that I hate and it's the dog whistle.
Oh.
You know when goalkeepers are training down the other end of the pitch and we get that wolf whistle and like, come on,
hurry up, hurry.
And you're like, I'm not a dog. Yeah. Like, I have a name. I'm a person. Like, just tell me.
Yeah.
That's my biggest pet peeve. Right. Finally, Sam, what does the goalkeepers union mean to you?
I
love this question, by the way.
Goalkeepers union to me is just, I think it's kind of like a brotherhood. Like, obviously there's women goalkeepers as well, don't get me wrong, but it's nobody knows what, let's say you let in a soft goal. Every other goalkeeper can empathize with it.
Yeah.
And you very, very rarely, there are wrongings in goalkeeping. There is, unfortunately, like there isn't anything. But most of the time, even if you've had a game, it's been a tough game, you've been at each other's throats afterwards, you've let a soft one in, they're like, oh, lucky mate, you know, you're better than that, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. And it's just, no matter what, you can help build each other up.
Yep.
And it's just a special bond, especially, you know, as well. You have 3 keepers and a coach, you get ridiculously close. You're close with the rest of the team, but you three have like this weird like humor that the other people just don't understand, the inside jokes.
there's so many bits and components to being in the goalkeepers union, but it's just that like understanding. I find it's just, you know what the other goalie is going through, good or bad, you know what the coach is going through, and it's the way that you can all just relate to each other.
You spend some extra time together as well.
Yeah.
All the other outfielders work with everybody. That unit sees each other way too often.
Yeah,
not
so
too
different.
Often, but you know what I mean.
No,
I see him more than my missus. So.
That's a problem. Right, mate, this has been a really interesting, fun episode. Thank you, Sam.
No, thank you so much for having me on and everything. It's been amazing.
It's been amazing. Right, this has been the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Please make sure you do like, comment and subscribe. Thanks a lot, guys. Sam Brown, everyone. Top man, mate. That was really good.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. Honestly, that's amazing.
Really good. What a save from Mark Howard.